Andrew Siciliano joined us at 11:20. All of these interviews are available on the Baskin and Phelps podcast on the Odyssey app. Jeff?
Andy?
Yeah, I'm just trying to go back and think about what Deshaun said, and I was looking through my notes, and I'm just like, you picked up something that I did, too. I didn't. I would have liked more information on it. You're right.
I don't want to interpret something, but there was one thing he said that made me think, interesting choice of words.
And those were?
He was asked about Jaden Daniels, who's been terrific for the Commanders.
Fun.
And he said that he's had, you know, a history with them, and they worked out together in Arizona State and blah, blah, blah. And then he said he looks like he's real comfortable with what they're running offensively. And I thought, please, somebody follow up with, Deshaun, are you comfortable with what the Browns are running? And nobody did, and that's okay. But his choice of words there, I thought, were interesting. And I wonder if he's comfortable with what the Browns are running.
What do you think? Running is a key word, because he's running for his life.
I would hope he's not, if you want to know the truth, because it looks like garbage.
After the first drive. The first drives haven't looked like garbage.
Okay, but I'm not looking at one possession. I'm looking at overall.
Okay.
Overall, the offense looks terrible. And if he's comfortable with what they're running, well, I don't know how he could be. Or anybody else on offense. I mean, it's not being very effective. So I would think nobody's comfortable. But I did think it was a really interesting choice of words when he said he looks comfortable with what they're running.
I don't know. It doesn't feel right. There's a lot of things that don't feel right. And I don't know if you...
And Andy, though we've harped on the offensive line for good and obvious reasons, there's a lot more to it than that. There's got to be. There's got to be.
Well, let me ask Frank and Grafton that. Hi, Frank.
Frank?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I think we all know the offensive line's a problem. It would be good if Deshaun got rid of the ball sooner. Did they ever look at tapes and go back at how Brian Sipe ran things? Did they ever look in the past and see how things worked? I would think this would be addressed to Andrew Berry. Start drafting offensive linemen. Forget wide receivers, quarterbacks, defensive backs. You need more offensive linemen. And I'd like to have a coach that when preseason starts, he tells the regulars, you're going to play. You get hurt, you get hurt. It's next man up. They're getting paid big money to play. Start playing these guys. If they're going to get hurt in preseason, they're probably going to get hurt in the regular season. Start treating these guys like the money they get and make them play. And then we'd have maybe some continuity when the season starts. What do you think?
All right, Frank, thank you. I don't know. They've gone to three games. It's not four games like it used to be in the preseason. I really would be super upset if we lost a player for the season during preseason, but I do think you're right. They don't seem ready or prepared. I don't like having these conversations saying, well, the first three games of the season are preseason. No, they're not. They're games that count. You want to go back, though, you want to talk about the offensive line and building that offensive line through the draft. Jed Wills was the first-round pick in 20. Jones.
He's drafted seven offensive linemen since he's been here, at least one in every draft. So that's not the issue. They have drafted offensive linemen.
Zach Zinter, Dwan Jones,
James Hudson. You've used nothing higher than a third on an offensive lineman, except once.
Although you didn't have
except
a first.
Once. It was Jed Wills.
Yeah, and you didn't have a first. The last
But you have had seconds. You used a first-rounder on Jed Wills. And other than that, your highest draft choice is a third-rounder to Zach Zinter. But, Andy, that's okay.
I'm looking at our seconds.
You get good offensive linemen and you develop guys. That's what that position is about more than maybe any on the football field.
We only have 2 seconds, right? Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah and Grant Delpit. Michael Hall, yeah. Sorry, he just hasn't been. Hopefully we'll get to see him in Philadelphia, as that story kind of broke yesterday. Yeah, I forgot about Hall there for a second. Mm-hmm. I know this team just absolutely befuddles me. I sit and watch them play, and I just every week you think, well, should they be 3-1? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking right now. They should be 3-1. Mm-hmm. Other things, you know, he did talk a little bit about Nick Chubb coming back, and he seemed more energetic about it than the head coach did. you know, the first down difficulties and being behind the line of scrimmage when you go to second or being, you know, beyond 10 yards, that's been an issue. But you're right, Jeff, that the Jaden Daniels line about being able to play free.
He seems comfortable really with what they're running. That was the choice of words. And I don't want to overanalyze it, but I thought that that was just an interesting choice of words. And boy, I wish somebody would have followed it up with, are you comfortable with what the Browns are running?
David Njoku was another topic today between both Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski. I do think he makes a difference. You know, when you're sitting here and you're trying to piece together an offensive line and you've got the opportunity to hold your tight end closer to the line than spreading them out, you've got the opportunity to have that, you know, that sixth offensive lineman. And I think it's important. I think it's important for Deshaun. Did you think, because this came up too, did you think Deshaun got rid of the ball a little quicker this week?
Yeah.
I did
too. It looked that way.
It looked like they had worked on that and that became a point of emphasis from the quarterback spot. Maybe that might be alone the reason he upgraded to, okay, I'm not blaming Deshaun Watson for this loss.
He played well enough to win a game.
Now, I don't know, Jeff. He wasn't on one drive in the beginning of the game?
I thought he played well enough to win a game.
I did too. But
I didn't think he was, you know, he wasn't great. And
he was meh.
Well, here's, you go get a quarterback to win games for you when you have a chance to win a game. And in the fourth quarter, they had three opportunities. One was fumbled away by Jerome Ford. Mm-hmm. But the other two, it was a three and out, and then you didn't get it done at the end. And, you know, you gave the ball back to the offense, once with 6:40 left, and the other was, like, with, what, three? And you had a three and out, and then you had the fourth down that didn't work. And, sorry, that's what you're paying the guy for. Let's be honest.
It's weird.
You're not talking about your guard in that situation. You're talking about your quarterback.
If he was a rookie quarterback, and I said to you over the last 2 weeks, they've had the opportunity and they've just fallen short by not scoring in the fourth quarter, but yet they drove down the field, they just came up empty. So you would think eventually with a rookie quarterback, you wouldn't come up empty anymore. The missed extra point was something we haven't talked about for 2 days now. And that missed extra point changed the whole game.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, you could have kicked, maybe, you know, unless they lose in overtime.
Maybe, but again, hey, I'm a big believer in this. Let's just say Dustin Hopkins had made that extra point. Does everything else go the same way the rest of the game? No, the game is.
No, because you would have kicked the field goal.
Well, the game is. Well, but you might not have had a chance for a field goal because from that point on, everything changes. You know, maybe the Browns.
I don't think you go for it on fourth down there.
Well, but they might have run. They might not have been there. That's my point on fourth down. You know, you hope that it goes the same way and you have a chance for a field goal, but you don't know that.
But you also
because everything changes after anything that happens in a game.
But you also know that once they miss the extra point, they're chasing it.
Yeah,
you're chasing that.
Yeah,
point the
which
whole time.
Which did change their philosophy, but maybe. You know, maybe they had called different plays on that last drive and wouldn't have gotten down into field goal range. Maybe something wouldn't have worked.
Hmm. John in Wadsworth. Hi, John.
John.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. One of the things I just think isn't getting mentioned about Deshaun's play on Sunday is that, you know, if you take away that BS holding call, and if Amari catches a ball that he had no reason to drop that ball, you give those two passes to him, you're looking at a stat line of over 280 yards passing with two touchdowns and no picks. And, you know, you've got the lead. So I really can't blame anything in this game on Deshaun Watson. I just think the stats are a little skewed by what he didn't get from his teammates and from the refs.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, you're talking about a 93-yard penalty on that callback. And we're sitting here, we're talking about a 260-some-yard game for him, and I think that we look at it a little bit different, right?
Yeah, completely. And,
yeah.
You know, like you guys made a good point. He is getting the ball out quicker. And I think just we've talked about the eye test so much. I think the last few weeks you're seeing him kind of improving and getting to look like a quarterback that we would be happy with. You know, at the very least, like, we could tolerate what he's doing. He's just, for some reason, as he starts coming on, the rest of the team is falling off.
There was a notion that I got from a couple people after the game that is it perhaps, especially when you go back and think about the interception to Amari, is he throwing the ball? I can't believe I'm saying this because it's driving me nuts.
Don't say it.
Do you know where I'm going?
I have an idea.
Is he throwing the ball too hard?
That's what I was wondering. You're going to say.
Is he missing touch on the ball? I don't know what if that's a better.
Seemed to work for Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean John Elway made the Hall of Fame like throwing it through a wall. I mean these guys get paid to catch the ball, and if you've ever worn receiver gloves, those things are like wearing Velcro. So gotcha. Hard or not, I mean they've got to catch the ball.
Gotcha. Thank you, John.
A little bit of news coming down. Tanner Bibee will start game one of the ALDS for the Guardians. Tanner Bibee, your game one starter for the ALDS when the Guards take the field on Saturday.
Not a shocker.
No surprise.
No, not a surprise at all.
Glad to have it announced, though.
And again, the game times, what is it? What did I say? 107 start on Saturday. Is that right?
108.
108. Oh,
eight,
man.
Andy.
So what if I'm a minute early? You know what? Forget all you people. Better to be a minute early than a minute late. That's what I say. Mean.
It's the way Andy's gone through life.
That is true. I've always been a minute early. I feel good about that. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.